Cape Talk, Money Matters with Sylvia Walker.
Oh yeah. Sylvia Walker, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Ebs. I'm great. Thank you. And you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. To you listening at home, when you hear the music, you know it's a Friday morning, and that means it's time for Money Matters with Sylvia Walker. She is the Ellie Beckford Show's resident financial advisor. She's a speaker, financial planner, and author of the book Smart Woman. We chat to her every Friday at this time. And if you ever want to get in contact with Sylvia, you can do so. Her email address is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. Sylvia, one of the things that I have personally is a, an education policy for my daughter, which will pay a certain amount when, for university specifically, because that's more for my worry for me, is that I look at private higher education and I look at public higher education. You never know what may happen in the future. And I mean, you can see things are going to be expensive then. So I've got that. But is this the answer to the ever growing, expenses that are affiliated to school and university?
Abs, it is a good solution. It's a good start. I think, you know, it's a problem that parents face. And the cost of children just never seems to go away. And I say that in the nicest way because we have them, but as they grow older, they become more and more expensive. And education is such a critical area, you know, such a critical gift that we can give any child. It's the best gift you can give any child. So, yeah, you know, one needs to prepare for that as a parent. And we've seen education costs, you know, they seem to rise above inflation, way above CPI. So it's one needs to do that, Abs. And the thing often what happens is people fall short in that they maybe start taking up some kind of policy or savings for the child's education. And they don't increase it, or they increase it at, let's say, 5%. But in fact, education inflation is a lot higher than that. So you need to make sure you're keeping up with education inflation in terms of increases to make sure that at the end of the day, you're actually going to have sufficient money to be able to achieve that goal, which is to, you know, send your child to university, hopefully one day.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that. I mean, Sylvia, breaking it down, hoping that you're going to be doing all of these things. Let's take a deeper look at it. We have the idea that education is more expensive in South Africa than in other countries. Is this the case?
And not really, you know. There's been some research done quite interestingly by the International Schools Database, and they looked at specifically private schools across the world in different countries. And the most expensive cities for private schools are, in fact, in Switzerland and China. And the cheapest ones are in Amsterdam, Abu Dhabi, or two of those that are within the, you know, the cheaper end of the scale. And Cape Town actually has the second cheapest cost of education. And this is for private schools, remember. So we always kind of think that our education system, our education is so costly. But in terms of this international research, it shows that really it isn't. We're at the bottom end of the scale. Quite interesting.
And to you listening at home, a quick reminder that you are listening to the voice of Sylvia Walker, who joins you every Friday at this time to chat to you about financial matters. This morning we are talking about schools and how can you save for your children to ensure that you are financially secure. That being said, Sylvia, we know that education inflation is higher than CPI. What increases have we seen then in 2019?
That's quite interesting. You know, it used to be around 9%, the education inflation. It has dropped a little bit if one looks at the increases that, the schools have brought in. Private schools on average have had a 7.8% increase from last year to this year. And state schools, about an 8.2%. So actually state schools have increased at a higher rate than what private schools have on average. So the most expensive private school in South Africa, interestingly enough, is Kearnsey College in Durban. And there the increases went up by just over 7%. But it will cost you a whopping 178,000 rand a year to send your child to school at Kearnsey College. And just to put that in perspective, an average degree, a sort of engineering degree, costs about 55,000 rand. So it is really, really pricey. If you look at your public schools, as I said, the private schools seem to have had a lower education inflation this year. But your public schools, your government schools, one that's close to home, Wynberg Boys, for instance, had an 8.6% increase. across all grades, and that'll cost you about 46,500 rand.
That sounds better. That sounds better. We can work with that.
It's more affordable, hey?
We can work with that. I mean, it's still expensive.
178,000 rand is a whopping amount.
What do
of
they?
Money.
What happens at that school? Do they? My goodness, 178 per annum.
Everyone looks at, you know, as everyone looks at Bishops, which is also the one that's local here in Cape Town. Just to send your child for the day is 148,000 a year. So just, right, you know, just going day to day. So,
let me ask the listeners here, please. You are, most of you are in the Western Cape here and your kids are going to some of these schools. Please share with us, how did you save for their education? If you're paying 100 and all 1,000 rands a year for a child at a school, please share with us. How did you do it? We'd love to find out from you. No one's judging you. If you've got the money and you were able to save, hell, you've got every right to send your child to whatever school you want to send them to. It's your child after all. But share with us. Give us what are some of the insights that you have? 24 minutes after 5. Good morning to you. You were still saying, Sylvia, sorry?
No, absolutely. I was just saying the interesting thing is that, in fact, it is that the government schools have had a higher increase rate than private schools. But yes, it is more affordable, as we say. Obviously, a lot more affordable. And I suppose, too, those kind of rates of private schools, those are people that perhaps don't have to save up to afford that. You know, they have that money. They're operating within that financial arena. It's really the average person that wants to give their child a good education that needs to make sure that they, you know, they can afford that, and it needs to fit into the budget, and they need to budget for the future to be able to do it in future in terms of, you know, the additional cost of university and so on.
Let's talk about private schools, though. I mean, private schools are out to reach to try and get to the average South African. Are the increases any different, though, from public schools? I think you alluded to that a little bit.
I did. So as I say, that actually, I mean, private schools have had a lower.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Schools.
I did. Yeah.
Now, is there any specific relief then for single parents?
Yes, there is, Abs, which is actually quite great, because obviously anyone who's a single parent will know it's really, really tough to raise a child or children just on one income, and there are huge issues which. You know, around maintenance, and people don't always pay child support. So there is a new court ruling that actually stipulates that if a parent wants to apply for an exemption of school fees, they can do that, and it will be based on their own income only, on their single income. So if they're not getting support from their, you know, the father of the child or the other partner, then they can actually get exemption from school fees based on their own, just on their income, which is really, it's great. It can bring a lot of relief. And not put the children in the middle of something, you know. Parents can't afford the school fees, and it's embarrassing for the child. So that's a great move that's happened fairly recently, which is a good thing for single parents.
So here I was planning for university, but I mean, can parents actually plan? Can you get a plan for raising fees for for your normal school for your child?
Abs, you know, I always say to people that the education planning story starts when the child is born. So in the old days, and I'm talking about 10, 15 years ago, you know, we used to say to people, fine, you need to plan, you know, start when the child is, you know, whatever, 5, 10, start putting money away for university. Today, you need to start actually when the child is born. Because if you have a plan that's a dynamic plan, so it's an investment plan, and it will allow you that when the child starts school, you can perhaps withdraw some money if you need it. You know, it's dynamic, as I said. It doesn't just pay out in 18 years. It gives you that flexibility along the way. So very much start when the child is born. That's the best way to do it. Obviously, the sooner you start, the better.
All right. And then how much then should one be investing every month?
So it obviously depends on the end goal. But, you know, if you a good sort of figure to start with, if you can start at the beginning, is around 500 grand a month. Because that should give you sufficient money at the end of the day. Obviously, you need to increase it to keep pace with inflation, as we said, with education inflation. So you need to increase that at about 7 or 8% per annum. But I would say, you know, around 500, maybe 600 rand. And give advice there. You know, speak to somebody, let them work it out for you. Because are you trying to accumulate, you know, is your end goal to be able to send the child to university? Or is your end goal, as I said, to be able to have some money along the way? You know, maybe you think, I'll send my child to a government school in primary school years, but for high school, I want to send them to a private school. So your end goal moves forward. So it all depends on the end goal. But I would say, as I say, 500 grand is the minimum one should actually be starting with.
And if we are talking then about So we've just spoken about investing every month. The question then becomes, what is the best way to save for those education costs?
So there's lots of avenues, and there's lots of ways to reach the same goal. Education policies, as we've spoken about, those are great because you can actually add on some benefits such as premium protection for death or disability. So let's say as the parent, you're concerned that let's say you died or you became disabled before the child had reached 18 or before the end goal was reached, you can add cover onto that so that the policy will continue. So your child is guaranteed of the education. There's things like tax-free savings, which one can take out. You've obviously got the limit there. You can only put in 33,000 Rand per year or 500,000 over your lifetime. But tax-free savings is great because it also gives you, there's no tax payable on any of your growth, your dividends, your interest and so on in that investment. And then there's things like unit trust that, of course, you can also use. That can provide you with access to a good investment portfolio that can give you good growth. And then, of course, there's also the bank account, which is always a lot of people's default, because with a bank account, I know what interest I'm getting. But, of course, we do know long-term a bank account is not going to give you the best growth. So if you want good growth over the long-term, you want to invest in something that is equity-linked, that is linked to the stock market. So those are the options. Mm. But, you might want to do a combo, instead of the two, of a bank account for shorter-term goals and then an equity-linked investment, a unit trust or a tax-free savings for a later, for a longer-term investment.
All right, very quickly, Sylvia, your final tips?
Start now. Start. I always say that start today is better than starting next week. Even if you have to start today with less than what you can afford, just start with something. And then education plans can often be given by grandparents. I think it's a lovely legacy for a grandparent to give a child. So instead of, gifts and toys and all that kind of stuff, let them rather start out, take out a small education policy for that child. It's a lovely legacy to leave a child, a grandchild.
You should say that to my mother. Thank you so much, Sylvia Walker. Cheers. Sylvia Walker, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. That was Money Matters with Sylvia Walker. And if you want to get a hold of Sylvia Walker, you can use her email address, which is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za.